Welcome to Recruiting Intel on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook, got Coach Dub, got Justin Wells. It's Tuesday, it's the afternoon, a little bit different time than usual, but you know we are talking about recruiting. If you're here, make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel. We're going to bring a bunch of recruiting intel this week. We'll bring a bunch of recruiting intel today. Y'all two got to go see OT7, and I finally saw a clip of that and how it's presented on NFL Network. And I can see why it's got like fans for, you know, in high school and in college right now, because it's very entertaining. For our purposes, it's about going and seeing these top prospects, a lot of skill position guys in position and in opportunities to really show off their skills. And then for us to talk to them about what their top schools are. Today, we've got a couple prospects we're going to talk to, including an A&M commit, one of the top wide receivers in the country, and then two defensive backs real high on the board. Justin, you can send people to Inside Texas, but give us a little tidbit about what Douglasville, Georgia's Aaron Gregory brings to the table. I know you just wrote about him over on Inside Texas, but what's some of the latest with the Longhorns in the Texas A&M commit?
Yeah, so he'll tell you he's solid to A&M. He really likes. Let me tell you, those guys have done a really good job of building that relationship. Not just after the initial commitment, and I believe it was late October last year, him and his teammate took a visit, committed on the spot. Jordan Carter, edge out of Douglas County too. He maintains he's solid to A&M, but the last quote he gave me, it was very interesting. He goes, you know, I love A&M. He said, but things change. You know, coaches change. Things change. And so he's keeping his options open. He's being smart about it. He's not openly trying to find somewhere else. He's just making sure he's being thorough. Texas, LSU, Tennessee, and Florida State are the four schools that are really pushing. They want to get this guy. And we know, as much as we reported on this, we know how much Texas likes him. Ultimately, Chris Jackson is doing a great job. It's almost like he identifies an out-of-state kid once a year and, like, zeroes in on that guy. And I think that might be Aaron Gregory this cycle, either Gregory or Jabari Mack. It's going to be one of those two. Both of them loving Texas right now. Gregory, too. And, you know, Gregory mentioned – he said, you know, it's not just the bond that I'm getting with Chris Jackson. It's the guys I'm watching on Sunday. He's like, Xavier Worthy just set a record in the Super Bowl in his first year. He said, you know, there's other guys out there making – and then you've got Bond and Golden that are going to be selected in April as well. And so he's paying attention to those things. And man, what a really nice kid. I've talked to him before, but never face-to-face. I hadn't got to see him compete yet. And he's a guy. He will go get the ball. He's one of those, you know, if it's a 50-50 ball, it's going to be his. He really attacks. He attacks the ball in the air. He's a good outside guy. He's got a pretty good little gallop. He's got good hands. I can see why so many schools are still in on him, why he's the number 8 rated receiver in the country. Texas is in a really good spot. I mentioned that just a few minutes ago at InsideTexas.com. They're in a really good spot right now. They're not pushing. And I think that's the style that Gregory really likes. They're not pushing. They're just, presenting their case. And Gregory's eating it up right now.
Justin, you talked a little bit about some of the aspects of his game. But, Coach, when you were able to watch him live and see him play, what were some of the things that you saw? And who might he kind of look like when thinking of some other Texas wide receivers and the role he could have in Texas offense should he make the switch?
You know, I love this type of setting because kids get to play with other elite talent, and you want to see who kind of shrinks and you want to see who kind of steps up to the challenge. And he stood out amongst other guys that were out there, right? He's a silky smooth receiver. Like Justin said, man, he'll go up and get the ball. He has strong hands. He runs good routes. I know those guys don't get a ton of time to practice with each other, but the workout spacing and timing with the quarterback, when you don't have much time, it shows that, you know, the dedication that they put in to playing in the 7-on-7 tournament, which is really, really competitive versus other guys. But Aaron Gregory fits at the top, but a lot of other top guys, man, he can play. He'll go get the ball. Like, he just silky smooth. He just gets into his routes so easily. He can beat press. He can beat you deep. He knows how to snap off the route, you know, in 2 steps and come back to the football, where most guys may take 5 steps to turn around. he can snap that thing off and get back quick. So I love Gregory's game. I think he's an absolute stud.
I remember watching him last year when I got back from a game in the hotel in Georgia. They show some of their high school games on like a access channel or whatever, and public access. He got behind Zealous Hicks, Texas safety, and there was no catching this guy. And you're like, okay, that's what Texas sees in him. Dude's phenomenal.
Yeah. It looks like checking over on three from Steve Wiltfong that Gregory will be back in College Station this upcoming weekend. I think this is an A&M recruiting weekend, but it also looks as if, you know, he still has that June official visit to Texas still on the docket. Any other planned visits for him aside from A&M at this point?
I think he's going to hit LSU and Florida State. Those could be spring visits as well. And then as for his official visits, obviously Texas has his. I don't know the exact dates for a few of the other ones, and I don't know if he does either. I think he's kind of sorting some of that out, but he has made sure to lock in the 13th, 15th to Austin.
Let's keep going with an in-state prospect. I think we can agree that Texas looks a little bit better for him right now than they may for someone like Aaron Gregory and even some of the other guys they talk about, and that's Chase Calicutt, Galena Park, North Shore, has not only Dwayne Aquina talking to him, but also fellow North Shore grad Mark Orfei. Coach, you got to see him up close and personal in recent weeks, and then maybe even this past weekend. What did you see out of Calicutt, who's kind of very unique frame for the position he plays?
Yeah, me and Justin kind of saw him walking around. I was like, yep, I know that's him. You can just tell by the vibe, his aura of this kid. Like, okay, that's Calicutt. You're going to hear him before you see him, right? He's loud. He's just out there. But seeing him on the field, man, I see why Texas has recruited him as a DB, not a safety, not a star, not a corner. He can play all positions. And that's really, really unique for a guy his size. He may look like a safety, but so did Richard Sherman. So did a lot of other long guys, right? Calicutt has corner ability, but he will hit you like a safety. He's going to talk to you like the baddest guy on the field, like a linebacker. Like, he does it all. And so seeing him play out wide on perimeter, play corner, then play some safety, I saw why Texas really likes him. I see why Coach Orfei and Coach Aquina like him a lot, and I see why he has Texas as his top school. He said he was in a Longhorn sleeve. He had Longhorn gloves on. He let everybody know it and wasn't afraid to show it, right? And so he's been that way ever since. I think we met him at Junior Day in February.
But he's been that way since the offer.
And that's true. So, but Calicutt's an absolute stud. I mean, he's a great player. That's a guy that you can stick in anywhere on the defense in the secondary and say, hey, go play corner. All right, go play star. We need you at safety this game. And he can do it. He can adjust. And now I feel like with Coach Aquina back, who's known for developing guys, it doesn't matter what position you play. I just need – you play DB. He's a guy that fits into that mold.
Coach, you were really good in getting him to, you know, admit he's the number one or Texas is his number one. I don't think anybody else had that. But inside Texas, Justin, you know, where does he kind of fit? You mentioned he has a lot of different positional capabilities, but where does he fit in a potential class?
I think he's a safety. I think he'll come in kind of with a safety designation. But like Coach says, Texas has been in the last few years really recruited these kind of cross-train type guys that can do a lot of different things. And then, of course, you watch Jade Barron, and then boom, it's like, okay, you know, that they see that. You know, I'd actually talked to Haven Finney about that, the Los Angeles DB that reclassified to 2026. He's like, all their DBs play different spots, and that really stands out. With Chase, I think he'll be a safety. He's just too rangy. He is long. He's got a wingspan like Kevin Durant, and he's got an afro that you can pick out of any crowd. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, I think he was picking that thing while he was playing D. He was really talented to do both at the same time. But, yeah, Texas, he fits in at safety because I think they have their eyes on a handful of other corners, Jalen Lott, Jermaine Bishop, Samari Matthews, a handful of Jordan Thomas. There's some other ones that I think they have pigeonholed for corner. But like Coach said, he can do a lot of everything, but I think he's going to be a safety in this class. He's got some headhunting to him. Coach described it perfectly. He brings kind of an attitude, kind of a vibe, and that's exactly the mindset you want from a defensive back.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we keep going, and of course, get some questions in, we'll get to those on the other side. But first, we got an ad break. Yes, I'll go ahead and read it from Roback. There's only one way to describe Roback. best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. With novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas, it's definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look with a comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge. Having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers, they are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on Roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20. What's up, Too Broke to Pay Attention? Thank you all for joining us. Deej, thank you for joining as well. Coach Top, thanks for coming in, saying Jalen Lott and Caden Dixon Wyatt to Oregon. How does that affect the wide receiver board? First thing, those were predictions. So Lott was predicted to Oregon, I think, by Steve Wiltfong. Caden Dixon Wyatt just had one come down before we started by Justin Hopkins or at Oregon on three. Obviously, the Ducks have some momentum there. One of those probably doesn't affect the wide receiver board at all, right, Justin?
Yeah, Caden Dixon Wyatt, he's on the board.
Well, Texas no, Wyatt. I mean Lott because of position.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Lott's he's Texas, the few other schools like him at – some like him at corner, some like him at receiver. Yeah. I think Oregon likes him at receiver, if I remember correctly. Texas kind of would prefer him at corner. If you watch this tape, he can do either one at the next level. Yeah. But, I mean, do you want to be a pretty good receiver in college or do you want to be a pretty good corner in the NFL? It's pretty easy to figure that out. And Jalen Lott's not on that wide receiver big board. He is. They love him at corner, whereas with Caden Dixon Wyatt, he's still on that list, but he's on the next tier. That, you know, I don't think Texas is pushing as hard for him as they are for some of the other ones. They do like him. They do. They still wanted to bring him in for an OV if possible. But I think Oregon's kind of caught the momentum there. And those predictions are no surprise. Steve Wiltfong, I told him the other night, he put in the Jalen Lott RPM at like 11 o'clock on Saturday night. I'm like, what are we doing here, buddy? But, yeah, it's just – you know what? It reminds me of recruiting at Texas in March. Like every March, like it resembles this: a few top targets commit other places. Texas fans go nuts, and then they realize, wait a minute, Sark isn't really trying yet. And then when Sark's trying, they flip who they want, they sign who they want, and they get the number one class.
We'll keep going with one of the top wide. Speaking of wide receiver, one of the top wideouts in the entire country is Tristan Keys from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I think Charlie, you've talked to him. And he has that 504 area code, and we all know that that means New Orleans, Louisiana, not too far south Mississippi from New Orleans. But Keys is someone who Texas is very interested in. He's a top 10 overall prospect, five-star. He's definitely going to be the type of battle that every coach within, you know, a five-hour radius is going to be giving him a call. So where do the Longhorns kind of fit in with Keys at this point for the five-star wide receiver?
Look, I tell you what, that kid ends up in Austin visiting this spring, all bets are off. I say, hey, the Longhorns get their hands in this one, I think they have a good chance. But he needs to get to Austin and visit the campus and get around the coaching staff and learn more about Texas and the program itself. But if he comes, I think Texas has a real good shot. I called him Jeremiah Smith Jr. because that's what he's built like. I know that lofty goal. He's built like that, right? And I was like, man, this is a big kid. And he just looks like Ryan Wingo. I can say Ryan Wingo, too. He has a college build already. But Texas, if he gets on campus, I think Texas has a good chance to maybe land him in the class. I think their relationship with Coach Chris Jackson is going to continue to build. They're talking more frequent now. And you know, Justin wrote about it yesterday or day before yesterday, you know, the relationship they got and where he's at with recruiting with Texas. So I can't wait to see how that one plays out. But I think Texas sits in a good spot so far.
Charlie helped me with that story big time. Charlie's the one that did a lot of that work. I did a lot of it from the Texas side of it. There's some gamesmanship going on with Tristan Keys right now. The best way to summarize it is, every cycle, you're going to have a number of elite prospects that will use certain schools for leverage towards others. Now you've got the NIL dollar. Now you wind up on a campus. Another school is going to want to top that offer. I'm not saying that's Tristan Keyes. I'm just saying that as a cautionary tale, as a precursor to pay attention every cycle. You're going to see five or maybe even a dozen in some places where they're going to say Texas is their top school, or they're going to say Texas is in their top five, but they may not mean it. They like putting Texas in there because they know it drives up the price with the other schools. And so with Keyes in Texas, there is some real gamesmanship going on. Keyes is telling us how much he wants to see Austin. Sources at Texas is telling us how much they want to get Keyes on campus. Yet it's not happening just yet. There's some things. Ultimately, he wants to take an official visit in May. Texas is not hosting official visits in May. They're doing three, the first three weekends in June, and that's it. And if they can get him off of that OV mindset and get him in for June, all bets are off. Charlie's 100% right. This thing could spin right towards the 40 acres. But that's a lot of ifs. And right now, it's a battle of kind of – it's almost a standoff between who's going to budge between this kid and the Texas staff. If this was Texas 5 years ago, you would say, guys, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. It's not. Texas is at a point now where they hold the cards.
Right.
They get to pick who they want to come into the class. One of those two is going to have to give.
And one of the other things is, you know, we have to remember life does exist. The world is not all about recruiting. But these guys understand, you know, this is the time for official visits. This is the time they want to do this. And some have them, their own ways that they're set in, and schools have their own ways. And if there's no middle ground found, then there's no middle ground found. I guess a couple other things just to note is that there's no end of July open period, I guess, to call the Anthony Hill honorary official visit date. That is now a dead period. So all of July is a dead period after all these June official visits. So that means after this June, sure, I guess they could visit in – actually, I think August is dead too. So after this June, you're not going to see kids on campus until game weekends.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't fit in for this June – yeah, maybe he makes the decision. Yeah, maybe he cuts things off. But then the next time all these kids have opportunities to take visits is game weekends, I guess the weekend before signing day. If they're really crazy and want to go all the way to February, they could go take officials in January. Remember, they're not limited to five. Also, they can take as many as they want as long as the school's got them. Right,
Justin? And of note, Tristan Keyes wants to commit in this midsummer. Yeah. He wants to do it in late June or early July. Now, a commitment in the middle of summer means nothing to Texas. We have learned that lesson. That's a fun lesson. It does not matter. If anything, it gives Texas more ammo to zero in on who they want and who they need and what they need to do to get that guy. But he wants to make that decision in late June, early July. I think that's part of this OV hangup as well.
Last recruit that we want to get into is Samari Matthews. You know, we talked a little bit about how Mark Orfe has connections from North Shore High School. That's helping him with Chase Calicut. Now, Charlie, Mark Orfe is using connections. He started at Rutgers to help with Samari Matthews, who's one of the top defensive back prospects from the state of North Carolina.
Yeah, definitely. Samari told me that was the main reason he was interested in Texas is because of his relationship with Coach Mark Orfe. And so that got his interest. But he's like, looking at Texas, I'm looking at the alumni, the guys they put into the draft, the history of Texas. If you want to be a DB, you want to be developed, that's the place to go. In his words, and they got Coach Aquino back. You saw his, you know, his track record, you know, his resume and everything he's done with developing DBs. Maybe that's the place I need to go check out. It's rare you see a kid more interested than a coach sometimes, right? A coach usually has to sell a kid, you need to come here. This kid wants to go see Texas. He wants to learn everything about Texas. One of the questions he asked me is like, hey, I hear about the culture in Austin. Is it really true, right? It definitely is, right? He's leading with Michael Taffin, who's in the secondary. The culture is real. And so he was asking questions most kids don't ask. He wants to find out the real, what the scheme is like. You know, what is it like in Austin? He's already asking questions. He probably will ask on an official visit once you get to know a school, but he wants to know now. He has taken interest in Texas, and the interest is mutual from Texas to him. And so I can't wait for him to go visit. I think he's going to enjoy this spring, and then he says he has an official visit set as well. So I can't wait for him to get to Austin and check out the culture, him and his family. But he's an excellent kid on the football field too. I mean, he's a long, athletic DB. I don't know what they're putting in the water in the DBs now, but they look totally different. They're all 6'1 and above now, but saw him move. He moves like an elite corner, right? Mm-hmm. He got to the point Cam Newton said, hey, don't throw his way anymore. He told him, don't throw his way anymore.
Yeah,
no, Cam is
– and the thing is, if you're not with the 7-on-7 trail, like sometimes pro athletes, just like in AAU, like all these guys have teams that they sponsor, like Westbrook, CP3 has them. That's coming into 7-on-7 and – Cam's gotten in some moments that maybe he shouldn't have gotten into being a 7-on-7 coach, but he obviously identified somebody in Samari Howe to make sure.
He was a really nice guy. Cam Newton was a really nice guy. My son actually met him when we were looking for the Reapers, Charlie. We went we saw the Cam group. And, you know, a couple guys were there. I'm like, hey, that's Cam Newton. And Alexander knew who that was, and he introduced himself. And so but the thing with Samari, too, he likes Texas like he was born in Texas. He reminds me of a prospect in state that just grew up loving Texas.
Yeah.
And now they have a pretty sizable lead over the rest of them just because that's where they're from and that's what they grew up around. Obviously, Samari in North Carolina, but I'm just telling you, he has that kind of attitude that – you would think he's from this state, as excited as he is about UT. If the Horns do push the right buttons on that official visit, man, I might have an RPM dropping because that dude loves the Longhorns like he was born here.
Yeah. Do you know what that kind of just sounds like on the surface a little bit? Is Zelus Hicks. You know, Zelus Hicks, you know, you follow the fact patterns of visits and guys making their way to Austin from out of state. Zelus is from Carrollton, Georgia, visits in the spring, visits in the spring again, comes on an official visit. And we're like, okay, you know, if you're making this much effort to get there, it looks like something's going a certain direction. Obviously, the visits have to happen because, Charlie, he was offered and then he made his top schools and Texas was
right
in
away.
It, correct?
Texas in it, right.
Like so dang,
that says a lot.
He didn't
lot
have to
right
change
there.
It. He didn't have Texas on that list.
Nope.
When they offered, he changed it before he put it out.
Yeah.
Jerelyn McCoy, defensive lineman out of Tupelo, Mississippi, did the same thing. We broke that this weekend. He's taking an official visit in mid-June. He's taking the spot of where he was going to visit Texas A&M. Tells us he has taken A&M off of his top six. Mm-hmm. Texas is on there now just to pour some salt on the wound of the guys in College Station.
Are y'all ready to cover a recruitment featuring Bill Belichick? I know you are, Charlie. I know that's 5 years ago. You're like, what are you talking about recruiting against Bill Belichick?
As long as he brings his girlfriend, I want to meet her.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
That's the real trophy. Forget them rings.
Oh, man. Last thing to get to, I forget when this happened, but Jamian Winfield, a defensive tackle from Richardson, committed to USC, kind of out of the blue, was kind of rumored a little bit. USC likes to get some guys in the boat early, especially from places that are a little bit outside their footprint. I think Justice Terry was one. Mm-hmm. I think Isaiah Gibson was the other one. So maybe not. Is he still ending up at Texas? But this recruitment still has a long way to go before – the Richardson to Los Angeles connection is established, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to say the exact same thing that you just said. It's a long way to go. I know for a fact mom loves Texas. She loved Coach Kenny Baker. In the end, sometimes moms win, right? And so
a lot of times.
We're in that age where, you know, if you make reservations, sometimes you want to rent out a place, you got to make a deposit. I don't know. So I'm just saying, I think Winfield – the recruitment is a long way from being over. I think he still ends up in Austin, if you ask me. But we'll see what happens. But, I told him congrats on committing to USC. You know, at the end of the day, it's about the kid. But it's a long way to go to December.
That kid's not going to USC. Terry had a better shot at going to Southern Cal than Jamian Winfield.
I think I've made this comment on here plenty of times before. You can look at him as commitments. But sometimes you got to, like you said, Coach, look at them as reservations.
Yeah, reservations.
Because sometimes the restaurant can cancel on you, and you can cancel on the restaurant as well.
Good. I like that analogy.
Yeah. you have to sit down and sign the check for you to – the bill at the restaurant for you to have your place. Yeah, or, you know, if you want to go that way, placeholder. So a lot of stuff. And, of course, Justin, so before we get out of here, let's look forward a little bit. Texas is on spring break right now. In years past, that meant practices on spring break and kids would come visit. Not this year. As spring practices get going for the Longhorns, still other kids will have opportunities to come visit. I think Dia Bell did that last year for a spring practice. So when are one of the first opportunities going to be for Texas prospects to come in, check the Longhorns out, whether it be out of practice or not?
You're going to see some prospects on campus for probably that first practice on Monday. I believe it's the 24th. I think it's the 24th.
Yeah.
That's when I think you're going to – we've got a couple scheduled. We have a master visitor list at Inside Texas that all our members absolutely love. We have every visitor from now until the end of June penciled in and locked in, and it's a fun list to kind of – to reference. And so, there's going to be a handful that start to come in on the 24th. Dia Bell is actually going to be in Austin on the 22nd for the Elite 11, but he's not going to stay. He's going to go back home after the camp. He originally told me he might want to stay for a couple of days in Austin. They told him, hey, go back home, spend time with your family on spring break, come back for April 26th, the fan day, which is what was going to be the spring games day, I think. And so that's for Dia. But, yeah, you're going to see guys come in on Monday and Tuesday. And then next weekend, the weekend of the 29th, they're hosting a handful of pretty notable guys, and I'm pretty sure Charlie and I are going to be, and Joe maybe too, if he's got some time. We're going to be down there beating the streets, getting ready to talk to some prospects. I think the 29th is going to be their first. If you remember last year, they had like three of these scrimmage weekends, and they killed each one of them, like big names after big names were coming through. That's going to start on March 29th.
It's going to be time to watch the golf carts like we love doing. Seeing who's on the golf cart going around DKR. So
there's some Charlie, golf cart taking pictures, some of guns.
I know. It's fun.
Yeah. It's funner. It's better when they're all piling into a truck to drive from the practice field to the facility. And there's like 22 players in the back of the bed of this truck, and it's dragging. The shocks are screaming, and it gets that was the good old days when they didn't care. Just hop in a pickup truck and drive them back to the facility. Only reason I remember that is because it popped up in my photo memories the other day. And it's like, remember when we took that picture? It's like, I don't post that.
Yeah, keep that one.
You got arcs like in the very back of it trying to hang on. And I'm like, oh, this is a liability. Still, golf cart season, fellas.
Yeah.
That will do it. Thank you for watching another episode of Recruiting Intel. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel. Of course, come to InsideTexas.com. We got a ton of intel on recruiting up today. We'll have more tomorrow. We talking NCAA tournament. Talking.
We got all a game tomorrow night, don't we?
Play tomorrow night. So
8:10, right?
On True TV.
Yeah.
Playing the Xavier. The
Musketeers.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Musketeers. Oh, yeah.
So,
hey. The Trey Johnson experience is about to begin.
It's freaking I cannot up. Wait.
It's going go. Top five in June, so let's make it happen.
All right. Thank you all for watching. Thank you to Roback. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.